Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. While you're at it, enable notifications if you are listening on YouTube so you get notified every time a new episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast goes live. While you're at it, if you're sick and tired of spending $60 to $100 every month, every year for the latest and greatest wrestling video game, stop immediately and go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create your wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to Facebook users completely free. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, you want your name in the shout-outs like our buddy Mike in Hatfield, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast and sign up today. Don't forget, we have loyalty rewards. Any $15 a month contributor will co-host an episode of Going Live with me, and any of our $7.50 a month contributors, you get entered into a drawing for one winner to also co-host an episode of Going Live, which we do on our Saturday night episodes. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. Don't forget, if you are new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, you want to find out what it is we're going to cover, what are we going to talk about, what do they do with the Fro Wrestling Podcast, go to our homepage, frowrestling.com, frowrestling.com, where you can see all the topics coming to the Fro Wrestling Podcast. Great way to come up with questions, comments, or concerns you'd like us to address. And when you have those questions, comments, or concerns, get two options here. If we are doing a live show, by all means, enable the chat function to give us comments instantly, and we'll get to your feedback right on our live shows. If it is a tape delay show, then call into the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line, 267-642-1160. Give us your questions, your comments, and anything you want us to talk about. Make sure that you give us your name so we can give you credit when we go over the topics that you wanted to ask. So, that being said, this week has been an interesting week in pro wrestling. Few things on the docket for the day. First off, I'm a little frustrated. You know, before the Crown Jewel event, it looked like WWE was building towards a great push for Daniel Bryan. And now the understanding is that WWE has no big plans for Daniel Bryan in anything in the immediate future. Understand that only about 2 months ago, there was conversation about Daniel Bryan potentially winning the Royal Rumble and challenging for the World Championship at WrestleMania. There was some conversation about whether he would be able to win the Rumble and potentially challenge Brock Lesnar, should he still be the champion at WrestleMania, for that dream match between Bryan and Brock. That obviously is not going to happen now. There's just all these different conversations that have been going on for the last year about Daniel Bryan, and now, after the situation at Crown Jewel with Daniel Bryan not going to the show, losing his match against AJ Styles, which my understanding is that was the plan from the beginning, was for Daniel Bryan to lose to AJ Styles. That I have no problem with, but it leaves his character with very little direction. And that's a problem when he's one of the most popular stars in the company. You don't have John Cena anymore. You don't have a lot of the talents that were the marquee. Even Roman Reigns, who, whether you love or hate Roman Reigns, numbers don't lie. Roman Reigns moved more merchandise than anybody. So naturally, whether you loved him, booed him, cheered him, whatever, Roman Reigns was a big factor on WWE's overall bottom line. Now you've got Daniel Bryan, who's one of the premier stars of the company, one that the fans love to get behind, and no booking plans for him in any substantial way. That's very frustrating, considering he's one of the best performers, he can work with anybody, and there are still so many dream matches on the horizon that have yet to happen. So, as a casual fan, you may not even notice some of these things, but as a diehard fan like you guys, the Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, you know that we want Daniel Bryan in the main event scene. I don't necessarily have to have him as the world champion, though I would love to see that again, but I do need him to be close to the top of the card, and I don't enjoy the prospect of a delayed period of time where Daniel Bryan does nothing of significance. That to me is a waste of talent. I'd love to see a legitimate feud with Daniel Bryan and Shinsuke Nakamura. Look, they've got nothing going on for Nakamura anyways. Daniel Bryan and Shinsuke Nakamura could put together some matches that would knock your socks off. And to me, that is worth far more than having two talents on the roster that you have no idea what to do. So maybe WWE will be smart. Maybe they'll book Bryan with something of substance in that regard. But in the meantime, apparently there are no plans for Daniel Bryan in the immediate future. Plans that are in the immediate future. Wrestle Kingdom 13 coming up. And on the heels of Wrestle Kingdom's announcement, we found out that Tetsuya Naito will challenge Chris Jericho in Naito versus Jericho 2 for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. What makes this even more fascinating this particular week is the news outlets have reported that Tetsuya Naito was offered a contract by WWE shortly after Dominion this past year, New Japan Dominion, and he turned it down. In his statement he put on Twitter, he said he didn't even have to consider it. He already considers New Japan Pro Wrestling to be the biggest and best audience in the world, and he didn't even consider the WWE offer. He actually went further to say something to the effect of he doesn't really want them to focus on their international expansion and just focus on performing in front of the best fans in the world. That's his opinion, not mine. But the fact that he was offered a deal by WWE tells me two things. One, they didn't offer him enough money. That's part of it. Because I don't care who you are, you offer enough money, he would go there. And Naito is one of the best talents in the world. WWE should have given him a much more substantial offer if he didn't even consider whatever they threw at him. Second, it tells me that WWE is well aware of New Japan's product and they are not above going there to get their next set of talent, which is something that the New Japan owners in recent months, there's been lots of conversation about talents being upset with the New Japan management since there was a change of leadership within the company and their corporate structure, and that people like Kazuchika Okada or people like Hiroshi Tanahashi, those talents, they need to be careful to make sure that they're taking care of their homegrown talent like that. If not, WWE may be able to swoop in and snatch some of those stars. Now, I think that the way that people like Asuka and Shinsuke Nakamura have been portrayed may turn off some talents to wanting to go to WWE. And of course, you have the issue of having to move to the United States. But money talks. And with all the money WWE has been bringing in, you would think they'd have enough money to make a deal work with just about anybody. Somebody that doesn't look like they're going to be able to make a deal with is Cody Rhodes. He claims WWE is not in his future. Now, we know that they are no longer Bullet Club. They're now just the Elite. We know that all their contracts are coming due. Some of them already have. Cody Rhodes is technically a free agent right now. So is Hangman Page. We know that Marty Scurll's contract is coming. The Young Bucks are coming. Kenny Omega is coming. The whole Elite clique. And they have put in for copyrights on everything branded as the Elite. So, you know, that's a thing. Bullet Club is technically owned by New Japan Pro Wrestling. If they brand themselves as the Elite, if they copyright that, they can bring that with them wherever they go. WWE doesn't typically like that, but it would not be a terrible thing. Now, one thing that I saw that is a hypothetical, I need to be clear. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing. Actually, I will say that, but there is conversation that Cody and the Bucks, the Elite and all, may be the catalyst to really revamping and restarting the National Wrestling Alliance. Cody Rhodes winning the NWA World Heavyweight Championship at All In, and then the conversation about wanting to have an All In 2 show, and with Billy Corgan wanting to promote the NWA and bring back that tradition. They have an amazing NWA World Champion. Nick Aldis has been just the picture of a classical NWA champion. You have a lot to build on there, and if you bring in the Elite, you really have established yourself as must-see television, and maybe that is where Cody Rhodes and the Elite go once they're done with their current Ring of Honor deals and New Japan Pro Wrestling. But you could tell there's definitely some fracturing in the current structure because Cody has already said he will not be at WrestleMania weekend performing for Ring of Honor. And then the Young Bucks, a stalwart of the tag team division in New Japan, are not participating in the World Tag League for New Japan Pro Wrestling this year. On Twitter, they made it clear they're not, you know, why would they take 4 weeks during the holidays to be over there when they don't even pay enough, you know? And they said it's not just a financial thing, but it makes you wonder, the Young Bucks, if they're not competing in the World Tag League, and they've been a focal point of New Japan's tag team roster for an extended period of time, and their contracts are coming due with Ring of Honor, and they haven't re-upped there, And you have people like Hangman Page, who turned down another deal offer this past week, and things of that nature. It's very clear that something big, something huge has to be happening with all those members. Somebody who will be staying with Ring of Honor is Flip Gordon. He just signed a new two-year deal. He's committed through 2020 with Ring of Honor. And he was very clear about the whole conversation about the Elite potentially leaving Ring of Honor. He's like, good. You know, if they stay, it's great because it'll make him work harder. But if they go, it provides him and others with more opportunities to be at the top of the card. Flip Gordon is becoming one of the absolute must-see wrestlers for Ring of Honor. And he's got a bright future. I guarantee you, within the next 18 months, he's the Ring of Honor world champion, if not very soon. You know, he's getting his world title shot courtesy of the cruise with Chris Jericho. He won the tournament, but there are other opportunities for him on the near horizon, and I really feel like he's going to be a focal point of the Ring of Honor brand going forward for the next 2 years and probably beyond. The one news tidbit that came out this week, it kind of shocked me a little bit, and I don't want people to get all like worked up over it because I'm sure it's just conjecture online, but after Hulk Hogan appeared at Crown Jewel, there was a lot of conversation about, oh, well, he'll be at WrestleMania. Will he be at the Royal Rumble? And I know Hogan already feels confident he'll be at Mania, but again, that would be more of an ambassador type role. You know, he's well past his prime, shouldn't really be getting in the ring. However, Rusev has thrown down the challenge. WrestleMania, Hulk Hogan versus Rusev. That's what Rusev wants, and I actually could see them pulling that off. Remember, a couple years ago when Sting was wrestling Triple H at Mania, Hogan, he was able to come out, throw a few punches, get a little physical. We don't need some long match for Rusev. But Hulk Hogan has always been the guy who defends American honor, and Rusev is one of those foreign invader bad guys, the Bulgarian brute. It would make for an interesting, you know, 5-minute segue at a WrestleMania. One of those, instead of having another talking segment, because they do a lot of those in the last few years, have one of these stupid segments where Rusev comes out, throws out the challenge, hit the music, let the fans go crazy when he walks out and tears off his shirt, have him throw three punches a foot and a leg drop, or three punches a foot and he throws him out of the ring and doesn't even actually give a match, just gets physical. And I think that would satisfy the fans. But I love that they put Rusev in this situation, or he put himself in a situation, to be able to make himself relevant by throwing out a challenge to Hulk Hogan. Kudos to him. Somebody else who WWE has made a huge offer to, apparently ahead of Crown Jewel, they made a substantially generous offer to John Cena to go to Crown Jewel, but he still turned it down. This is not a guy who's just motivated by money, but at the same time, it's not just over political concerns over the Khashoggi disappearance and assassination and things of that nature. John Cena is making the transition to Hollywood, and let's face it, his Hollywood career is probably going to last much longer than his remaining wrestling career. And that being said, John Cena does not want to associate himself with a controversial product because in a lot of ways that can limit his earning potential in the entertainment world when he does finally leave WWE and pretty much become a full-time Hollywood star. And he did not want to take the chance on tarnishing that reputation because of that decision. I applaud him for that. I would have loved to have heard it was just because he, you know, respected our relationships with certain countries, and he thought that the morality was a problem and all this stuff. That would be even better. But the fact that he didn't go in general for whatever reason, I think is a beautiful thing because it shows that WWE can't just buy off anybody. You know, John Cena was, everybody doesn't have a price, Million Dollar Man. John Cena didn't have a price. Apollo Crews apparently in line for a big push. They want to feature him as their like high-flying daredevil talent, kind of taking over the role that Neville had for quite a while. But they want to start pushing him. I was kind of surprised to see on Monday night that he got the victory over Jinder Mahal, who has been relegated to being completely insignificant after being the World Heavyweight Champion and the United States Champion. I have a problem with that. I don't need everybody to like Jinder Mahal, but you can't explain to me how a guy can walk around for 180 days with the World Heavyweight Championship and then be nothing. That makes no sense whatsoever. They should be doing more with Jinder. They should be cultivating his character, not killing it. Cruz never should have been a loser character. He always should have had a push. He's been incredibly talented long before he even came to WWE, but now hopefully they'll make up for some lost time and help him be a focal point of their action-packed shows on a more frequent basis. Somebody else who WWE has not featured is Ryback, who wants to return, and he wants to return to WWE at WrestleMania. He thinks that would be the perfect time to show up, to appear for the fans. I sometimes wonder if Ryback thinks he's a bigger deal than the fans believe he is. Don't get me wrong. I actually like Ryback. I think when they built him up as the unstoppable bad guy, the unstoppable force, right when he was leading up to the issues with CM Punk and The Shield, I thought he should have beat CM Punk for the championship. I really did. I thought he was that over. I understand he's stiff, and I understand he was still green and all those things, but he was over. It's like Braun Strowman. I would have liked to have seen Braun Strowman win the Universal Championship at Crown Jewel. Ryback should have won the WWE Championship back when he was hot. He was white hot, like Goldberg white hot. And WWE didn't pull the trigger on it. It's because they protect certain stars and they didn't really plan things out in the way that best was what fans wanted. And then people were upset because things didn't work out. Well, Ryback wanting to come back, I'm all in favor of because I'm a fan of his. But there's a lot of people who are not. A lot of people feel like he walked away from the business, turned his back on the business. He got established using the Ryback character because of WWE pushing him. And then he goes out and he starts, a supplement company and all these things that feed me more, this and that. That's all WWE back. And then he had very few times, there's too many instances where he didn't have anything good to say about WWE for the longest time. Now, recently, he's gotten a lot more positive. And I'll give him that. I think whatever stressors or frustrations he may have had with WWE, he's kind of gotten over those. But I still think that he's not quite as big a star as he thinks he is. And I think if WWE were to welcome him back, it certainly wouldn't be in a prime position like I think he would want it to be. I mean, he might be able to come back for like the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal or something, but I can't see him being in a major storyline. I don't think he has the reputation for that. So we'll have to wait. Time will tell. Stranger things have happened, including the last tidbit of the week, WWE acquiring another monstrous video library from WWC, World Wrestling Council, down in the islands, Puerto Rico. It's where Carlos Colon and, Carlito and Primo and Epico and all them come from. Carlos Colon started the promotion back in 1983. He had the assistance of some other people, Gorilla Monsoon, etc. And they put on shows that were just, they were a great alternative to the conventional American wrestling show. And over the years, they saw some of the most amazing talent come through their territory. The likes of people like Dory Funk and Terry Funk, Randy Savage, Abdullah the Butcher, Kerry Von Erich, Ric Flair, all of them have gone through the territory. Them and many more, to be perfectly honest with you, the Road Warriors, Dusty Rhodes, Kevin Sullivan, etc. And now WWE has acquired their videotape library, which I'm happy because I'll get to see it on the network, and I actually like their shows. I always have. But what frustrates me is like somebody said this once before about like ECW. Like ECW couldn't make any money towards the end of their tenure as an independent company, and then WWE buys their library and makes millions off of the rise and fall of ECW type of stuff. Like, WWC has so much videotape, they should be able to market that and be extremely profitable. And instead, WWE is going to get it, who already is insanely wealthy, and they're going to be able to monopolize even more of the industry than they already had. I'm okay with, distributing the tape information. I think all the fans want to be able to see it, and maybe the WWE Network is the best place to see it. It's the biggest, streaming service in the wrestling industry. But it's kind of sad to see another promotion selling their assets to WWE. It's like Vince had this like takeover idea back in the 80s where he was going to take over the world. It has never really stopped. He's still acquiring assets in the wrestling industry. So we'll have to wait and see when that stuff debuts on the network. But I'm actually looking forward to it. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us in the next episode where we'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com. They produce all the music or sound effects we ever use in our shows. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games, bringing a new friend and family game that is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking on the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy today. Get one for the holiday season. Great game. Also look for Banani Market and another great family game and Legendary Elements. All links found on ProWrestling.com. And AlleyRepair.com. Contact AlleyRepair today for servicing of all your classic ski ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move, you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our sister website at FroLifePlanning.com for all of your higher education needs, as FroLife Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with FroLife. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. If you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsj101sports.com for their articles on the world of professional wrestling, or check out In Fro's Corner, my blog, on our website at frowrestling.com to check out my own editorial pieces. Until next time, take care, everybody. Have a great day.